Mind Your Farm Business on realagriculture.com is brought to you by RBC Royal Bank.
Sean Haney here with realagriculture.com for another episode of Mind Your Farm Business, brought to you by RBC Financial. Special thanks to RBC for sponsoring this podcast. In episode 15, we're going to take a closer look at an area of farm business that isn't explored too often, but it's actually becoming more common, and that is the area of joint ventures, mergers, and acquisitions. Now, many times, people that are looking to expand and grow their farm business, it's really about just buying more land, and that's becoming not such a simple strategy. One of the main reasons is the increasing value of land. You just can't go out and purchase more like you could, say, 20 years ago. Farmers are having to look at new strategies. Strategies that include maybe a closer alliance with a neighbor. Maybe a closer alliance with another farm business that strategically fits into their operation. Now, this can happen through, as we mentioned, joint ventures, maybe a merger, or maybe it's a complete acquisition of another farm business. This week's guest on Mind Your Farm Business is Dean Klippenstein with MNP. And you'd be very interested to hear the comparison that Dean and I make at the very end of the podcast between trying to grow your business and marriage. I hope you enjoy this edition of Mind Your Farm Business with realagriculture.com. Hi, Dean. Thanks a lot for joining us today. How are you doing?
Really good. Thanks, Sean.
Now, Dean, why do you think in the past joint ventures, mergers, and acquisitions have been so uncommon in agriculture in Canada?
Well, I think there's the traditional independent spirit that is inherent in lots of our farming clients across this great nation. The independence drives that I want to be in control of my own destiny. And we're never going to see that go away entirely, but I think what's going to happen as time goes on, the capital and management requirements of these farm operations and their sheer physical size and economic size is going to start to force the hand of some alternate structures that we haven't seen in agriculture in the past. Certainly not in Western Canada. Probably it's more prevalent in areas that have been farmed for 100 years more than that. But certainly in Western Canada, we're not seeing those structures. But we're seeing them more often than we used to, say, 15, 20 years ago.
What are sort of the criteria or the characteristics of a situation that make sure you can have success in this area? So if somebody is considering, merging their farm with a neighbor or somebody that is even at a distance, what does it take to be successful in that strategy?
I think first you need to look within your own business and within your own personal situation to say, what am I trying to accomplish? What is my goal and objective of this merger? And you have to look at that. It sounds strange to say, but you have to look at that entirely selfishly to say, I want to know what I get out of this arrangement or relationship or business transaction, because if I'm not clear what I want to, my goals and objectives of it, then its likelihood of success is substantially reduced. And so I guess that's the number one thing I tell all our producers, and they say, hey, we're thinking about and we're talking about getting together with a neighbor. And I say, okay, why do you want to do that, and why does the neighbor want to do that? Because both parties have to have clear ideas of what they want to accomplish, and not enough do that. They rush into these, or a little faster than they should, not having a clear understanding of what they want to accomplish.
Now, typically when we look at the corporate world, we hear a lot about corporate culture, right, and the merging of cultures. In agriculture, those aren't typically things we talk about on the farm, but are really, really critical to ensuring success in this area.
And in many times, now this is me, a skeptic, in many times in the corporate world, I'm not sure culture matters as much as they say it does, given the size of some of those organizations. My thoughts are that it's far more important that the culture be able to mesh in a farm operation. So the culture is very important in an agricultural setting, in an agricultural merger arrangement, or whatever you want to call it.
So let's take a step back and look at all three individually. So a joint venture, why would I do a joint venture with a neighbor or another farm company?
Well, I don't like to put a term in my view to the world, whether it's a joint venture, a limited company, or a partnership. I don't actually care. That's about the nuances of the tax arrangement. In my view to the world is putting the parameters of who's contributing what to our business arrangement, regardless of what we call it.
Okay, so is there situations where you should, when you know somebody comes to you or you're going to another company, and is there reasons to walk away from a potential agreement?
Well, let's take a great example. You've got a young, spirited 4,500 acre. You got a young farm couple with 4,500 acres of partially owned, partially long-term, safe, conservative rents. So a really good farm, really good operation. And they had a neighbor down the road who had a really good 6,000 acre farm, but was in the same stage of life, same age of kids, same age of same personal age, and merged because for the sake of merging. Well, that to me does not make any sense, because contrary to what the pundits say, there is no economies of scale once you reach a certain size, because everything has to simply be replicated. We did an analysis of not a statistical analysis, but we took a group of 75 farms ranging from 1,500 acres all the way up to 1,500 acres ranging all the way up to 23,000 acres. And there, what we call labor, power, and machinery costs or operating costs ranged from 120 to 124, and in that range, regardless of the size of farms. So the 0 to 2,000 acres farms average was the same as the 2 to 4,000 acre farm, which was the same as the 6 to 8,000 acre farm, which was the same as the 10,000 acre plus farm. So that would be a great example of someone getting caught in the excitement or of a new business venture when neither had anything to gain. So that would be a great example of a walk away, because both are better in charge of their own business operations and both had similar skill sets. They weren't being clear of what they wanted out of the arrangement.
So is that really one of those misconceptions out there, that the bigger guys just buy all the inputs a lot cheaper, and in reality, you better have better reasons to go through one of these activities than we're going to be able to buy really cheap chemical?
Well, that's an excellent point. And when I was talking about there, I was talking about machinery and fuel and manpower costs or people power costs. There probably is an argument on the value of pooling input purchases, and to a lesser extent, although difficult to measure, on pooling of grain sales. But I wouldn't necessarily need to combine our entire farm operation to garner some benefits out of that.
Right, you can achieve some of those benefits by being an individual just working in conjunction with another company.
That's exactly right. So again, there is no magic bullet. You take Procter and Gamble, and I don't know very much about Procter and Gamble, but they've felt that the corporate efficiencies gained of having one major company, the benefit of corporate efficiency is lost based by the lack of entrepreneurial spirit when they run their divisions separately and competing against each other. So this is just a perfect example of, if you felt there was economies of scales to be gained on purchasing of inputs, and that was your goal and objective, you come at the arrangement very differently.
So, Dean, let's take a closer look at some situations where a joint venture merger acquisition could be successful and would work.
Well, I'll use a real life example without names, but I've got a couple friends of mine, and one's in the stage of life where there's a 5 to 10 year horizon left in their career, in their active farm management career. I've got it with no children who are planning on taking over the operation. I've got another friend who's not very far, the physical distance between their farms is not very significant, and there's an arrangement where it's a small farm with junior management coming back wanting to take over the farm. So expansion is driven based on necessity, just to get the farm to the size where it can provide for two families, where it currently provides a very good living for one. It does need to expand to provide for two. So in this example, there might be a perfect opportunity for a business arrangement where they operate together. The one party's bringing the management team, the one party's bringing the day-to-day operations, the other's bringing a large tract of land, but wants to still be involved to a lesser extent. And so, no, I'm not saying they'll work in every case, but at least that has the framework that gives the adventure an opportunity to succeed. And that's really the key. They're trying them and not working is fine, and that's going to occur, and it happens in business all the time. But at least set the stage where everyone's clear of the objectives they wish to accomplish, and that those goals and objectives are not contradictory to what our partners want to accomplish in their arrangement.
Well, I would think it would also be extremely important in that pre-process as well as post-agreement to make sure the roles and responsibilities of all the parties involved are really clearly outlined and understood by everyone. So there's not a lot of, well, I kind of thought I would still be doing this. That would really enhance success if that's clearly defined.
That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point. If you had someone who's very mechanically inclined and like managing the operational assets, and you had someone who really wanted to focus on agronomy and focus on agronomy and marketing and finance, and they wanted to get together because they didn't know other ways to supplement their skill set, because it's impossible. There's some people, but not very many, who are good at everything. That is an excellent example you talked about, where both, then those duties are not only you maintain, you understand what everyone's roles are going in, but your skill sets lean towards what those roles are, so everyone's doing something they like and are good at.
Hey, Dean, any final thoughts on this topic of joint venture mergers and acquisitions?
There is no magic bullet. There is no rule book to say here's how this will occur perfectly successfully and this is things that will never work. But don't be afraid to talk to some people who have been through it or who have seen a number of them to try to stack the odds in your favor of success. So I guess that would be the number one thing, because we don't have it all figured out either. Remember, this industry is growing and progressing at a pace none of us would have imagined 20, 30 years ago. So we're all learning together, but take the couple tips that you can from people who have been through it and or who are managing that process as we speak. So that's what I would hopefully walk away with from today's discussion.
Yeah, I love that final thought. And what I think of is, I compare it to marriage. Every marriage is different. Every marriage is distinct. Every marriage has success or fails for their own unique reasons. But there's a lot of, you know, when you talk about asking other people who have been through it, you know, there's a lot of young people or older people who get married, and it's like, you know, asking grandpa, you know, grandpa, what makes you and grandma's marriage so good? Like, I kind of, that's the process I sort of envisioned. Is that a good comparison?
Yes, it is. And the marriage comparison is a perfect comparison because these are all different. They all are unique, and everyone wants different things out of them.
Dean, it's been great talking to you. Thank you much for joining us on the Mind Your Farm Business podcast, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
That sounds very good. Thank you very much for your time.
Well, who knew that thinking about growing your business and what strategy to take was as similar to thinking about a marriage as it is? When we think about joint ventures, mergers, and acquisitions, it's really about thinking about what you really want out of your business. There's lots of ways to grow your business. But like Dean Klippenstein says, you need to make sure that not only do you think about what you want, but what's also best for your business. And asking yourself, what is going to make me happy in my farm business, whatever form it takes, into the future? The nice thing is there's tons and lots of different options for farmers to explore as they try to grow their farm businesses in the future. Sometimes we think about some of the advantages may not even be as big of advantages as we first perceive or first think. Ultimately, we do need to ask ourselves, what do I want out of my farm business as I explore options like joint ventures, mergers, or possibly acquisition? This is Sean Haney from RealAgriculture.com. I want to thank Dean Klippenstein from MNP for his time today on episode 15 of the Mind Your Farm Business podcast. And I also want to thank our sponsor, RBC. We'll talk to you next time.